and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How many of you know that there's power in the praise? Let's give a shout of praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to move mountains with our praise this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. You and you alone are mighty above all things. Father, we delight ourselves in you. Move in our lives. Change us. Transform us. Renew us, Father. Make us more like you. You have total freedom in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Are you ready to shout down heaven this morning?
Christ revealed and died.
think I read it like that. And my word, it says that the walls of Jericho came down with a shout. All right, that was almost good. I said the walls of Jericho came down with a shout. Do you have a reason to shout this morning? All right, I want to see some energy. I want to see some movement. I want to see some clapping. Because your victory is right behind that shout. Amen? Come on, let's get it this morning. We're going to praise Jesus. Come on, let me hear you. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated. And we will shout it out. Come on, sing. God is fighting.
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus,
enemies defeated. And we will shout. One more time, give it everything you've got. Sing, God is fighting for us,
pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated.
And we will shout it out, shout it out. Let me hear you shout that.
All right, who here knows that we serve an unstoppable God? That's right, our God, he can move the mountains, he can heal the blind, he can raise the dead. And so I just want to encourage you guys to worship this God that nothing is impossible for.
Heaven thundered and the world was formed. Faith commanded, and the mountains moved, and fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things.
Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your
To the fatherless, God, your promises go on and on and on, and you are so awesome. You are so awesome, God. Can you just thank him one more time this morning? Say thank you, God. Thank you for all of your promises, everything that you give to us.
Oh, my God is awesome. He can move mountains.
Forever he will reign.
Oh, my God is awesome.
For being so awesome. Go ahead and tell him why he's awesome. Tell him why he's awesome in your own life. What has he done for you that deserves him?
You're so awesome, God. We pour love out on you. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just wanna tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, sing it out. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Oh, tell him you love him.
I love you, Jesus.
I worship and adore you.
I worship and adore you. Say that I love you more. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
One more time, sing, I love you.
I love you, Jesus.
Slide your hands to heaven. Sing to Jesus right by himself. Just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus. Talk to him now.
Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than
anything. Sing that part again. Come on, sing with all of your heart. Sing to Jesus.
I love you. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you,
Jesus.
Lord, I love you more than anything.
Oh, come on now. Sing to him, sing to him, sing to him, sing to him. He's waiting to hear from you.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Ah, Jesus, we love you. Someone watching by live stream, it's your very first time watching. The Holy Spirit's speaking to me about you. And that is, this is abnormal that you're even on. Someone told you about it, and you jumped on. And you're wondering what to do, but you feel God's anointing coming right through your computer. Lord, I just release your presence right now into that house, into his house. God, I ask that you'll just overwhelm him. Now, let me explain something to you. God, you feel in that drawing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants you to know him today. That's why you're on. You're not on just to watch a church service to check things out. But he's actually speaking to your heart right now. And I want to pray with you right where you are. You don't need to wait to the end. And I want you to pray right out loud with me. Right at your house. Pray right out loud. Dear Jesus, I feel you in my heart. I know you're drawing me. I'm making a choice, a conscious decision that I want you. I don't even really know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do next. But I know right now, I want God. I receive you, Christ, in my life. Amen. You prayed that prayer. God saved you. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You get in touch with us. We'll get you a Bible. We want you to know that we love you and that you're important to us. And God's got a plan for your life. Amen?
Amen.
We usually do a few minutes of meet and greet. And this morning, we just have so much going on. I'm going to ask that we all just go back to our chairs and then turn around to the person in back of you and say, well, good morning. It's so good to have you in God's house. Don't be a snob now. Turn around to the person behind you and say, good morning, my name is. It's so glad that you're in the house of God. Come on, come on, come on. Turn around, turn around, turn around. Tell somebody, good morning. Good morning. Really? Come on, tell somebody. Boom, boom. Come on, one more time. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad, so glad you're in the house of God today. I'll slow down. Switcher. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're in the house of God today. We have some announcements for you. You ready for them? Here we go.
July 14th, we will be having an outreach in Grocery Park. We're calling it a block party, but really what it is us loving our community. We're going to be giving out hot dogs, giving out clothes, telling people about Jesus, and we want you to be part of it. So that's happening July 14th. We're starting off at 11:30 and ending at 1. We would love to have you with us.
Hey guys, every week behind those walls right there, hundreds of kids come to learn about God. And we just want to invite you to come and join us, teach your children about Jesus, either on Sunday morning with His kids or on Wednesday night with Uproar Kids. If you would like more information on how you can get involved, you can email me at aaron@histabernacle.com.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Wow. We're much more alive than first service. That's pretty good. We didn't have to go for it twice. Well, we just want to welcome you in this house today. We are incredibly excited to have you with us. Turn to your neighbor and say, welcome to the family. If you're watching via live stream, we want to welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you're in the house today for the very first time you're visiting, would you mind just sticking your hand up real quick? We want to give you a gift. We want to give you a packet. And if you are here for the first time and you haven't received a packet, would you just leave your hand up? But if, family, can we just welcome every single visitor in this house today? We got a hand right back there in the back section. We just want to thank you so much for being here. After service, right out in the foyer, we have a tent, and out there, we have a guest reception. We'll give you some coffee, some snacks, and you'll have an opportunity to meet some of the pastors and ask maybe some questions that you have, or just get to know some people. So we also want to announce real quick that we have a middle school room, and the middle school room is right over in this hallway, so if you have someone with you that's in 7th or 8th grade, you can make your way right over there now, and they have a middle school classroom for you.
Awesome. And then we have next steps. Everybody say next steps. We want to invite you to come. Every Tuesday, we have Rock Solid Faith, which we know, maybe if you're new, what that is if you have any questions about the Bible, which I know a lot of us do, Pastor Spencer covers anything that you could ever need to know in this class, and it is an awesome class. But at the same time, we have step two. And if you've graduated from Rock Solid Faith, we want to invite you to our family and parenting class. It doesn't matter if you don't have kids, I go to that class. If you're a single mom, if you have 12 kids, please, this is an awesome class for you. And we want to ask you to join us. Josiah Skinkle is teaching, and it has been so much fun. Pastor Chad wouldn't know because he hasn't been there, but I've been there and it's been awesome. So, and then we want to invite you to groups. Man, we do not believe in doing life alone. We believe in family. We love to build each other up, and that's what we do at our groups. This is just a little advert, but if you're between the ages of 18 and 30 and you'd like to come to our group, we have a lot of fun. We grill out, we play lawn games, we make s'mores almost every single time. But seriously, get involved. Get part of a family that you can do life with. Sign-ups are online, and so we're excited about that.
Amazing. And then last but not least, the real reason we're up here is because if you are between 18 and 30 or out of high school and 30, would you wave at me real quick? Can I see your hand? All right, this is for you. So we have the Awaken Young Adults Night. It's our Awaken Monthly. We are having a blast tonight. It's going to be a tailgate party theme, so dress in your best America costume that you have. And then you want to we have hot dogs, hamburgers, we have s'mores, and then we'll have a full service. But most importantly, this is a time where you can connect with other young adults. So we want to invite you out 5:45 p.m. We would love to see you there. And now Pastor Rhonda is going to come and give us the word for the tithes and offerings today.
Amen. That is good. So how many of you like to be right? Guys, how many of you like to be right? Yes? Ladies, I know you like to be right. Right? But I know we all want to be right with God. Right? Well, let's look at His Word. In His Word, if we want to be right we must tithe. Malachi 3 tells us, I'm trying to turn there quickly. I know when you use these computerized ones, there's nothing quick about it, is there? Malachi chapter 3. But in verse 10, it says to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And that's the word of God. 10%. Tithe simply means 10% of your income. His word is what tells us to tithe. Not the church, not up a made-up philosophy. It's the word of God that tells us to tithe. And just before that, in verse 8, it talks about, you've robbed me. And they said, how have we robbed you, God, in your tithes and offerings? And we want to be right before God. Not only do we tithe in this house because the word of God tells us, but this is a command that comes with a great blessing. The other portion of that passage says that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. So it's a command that comes with great promise, and we enjoy walking in the promises of God. If you're ready to give, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. Yes, Pastor Spencer, I did not forget. We are doing communion this morning, so when you come forward, many of you give through automatic or text to give, but this morning, if you would come forward and get your communion cups, and I think we're good. All right, Pastor would like me to request, if you had communion in first service, could you wait for the second service people to get their communion and then grab your communion? I think we have plenty, but let's just be gracious to make sure everyone can have communion this morning.
The reason we have to do that is because Ithaca has grown already.
Yes.
And we had to send more communion cups up to Ithaca this morning that we weren't anticipating. So if you've already had communion for a service, we're not telling you not to take communion, but let's make sure everyone has had a chance and an opportunity. So my wife and I are going to be serving you the communion cups, and we just want you to know we love you.
Amen. And we also want to welcome the Renovation House this
morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Pastor,
it's always a blessing and an honor to have you with us. So let's make our supernatural declaration again from the Word of God. It's Deuteronomy 28, and if you'll repeat after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They trip me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings and grab your communion cups as you come. If you're online, you can give right along with us or even text to give.
Shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are.
got more than enough.
Jesus, you are here.
We have more than enough. So if you already had communion first service, why take it again second? Come on up and grab your cup.
He has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me. And I am free in Jesus' name. I will live. I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed. And I am healed in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. If you did not get a communion cup, would you like one? I believe Pastor Dan's running around. Just raise your hand. Pastor Dan will give you one. If you already had communion first service, that's fine. We have more than enough now. Just wanted to make sure. If you need a communion cup, make sure you grab one. Praise the Lord. I love communion because it talks about remembering. What are we remembering? We're remembering what Jesus did for us. How many of you know that Christ cut a covenant for us? Covenant is just different. A lot of people in America, we don't understand covenants. God cannot lie. God can't break a covenant. So the great part is whatever God has set in order for us, we know that we can have, and Jesus paid for it by his blood. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. So communion is such a powerful time because it reminds us of the goodness of God in our life. How many of you know that God is good? How many of Jesus washed your sins away? How many of you are all right with that? You're pretty good with that. Amen? How many of you are glad that he paid the price that you don't have to pay? My goodness, that's a big key. Remember, if Jesus doesn't pay for your sins, you got to pay for them yourself. God never sends anybody to the lake of fire. Anybody. That person has chosen to pay for sins themselves. So I'm so glad that today we can have Jesus pay for our sins. You know, he's so good. He loves us. The Bible says before you even knew him, he was chasing after you. Isn't that cool? He said, when you accepted him, old things are passed away. Because all things become new. You're a brand new person. Communion is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And what I love about it is it's not what you usually see. How many of you have ever seen the picture of the Passover where they did communion at the big table? And, you know, that's not true. Turn to someone and say, that's a lie. You know religion lies to you a lot, right? Here's one that people don't even realize. Ready? I love this one. Do you realize that the wise men did not come to the birth of Christ? Do you realize a lot of people don't know that? What? I thought the wise men were at the birth of Christ. No, religion's been lying to all these years. They came to Jesus' house when he was 2 years old. And by the way, there weren't three wise men. We three kings of Orient are, that's a lie. There were about 500 of them because they never traveled alone. They were actually called magi. And they came and brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the most expensive things that they could have. And they gave them to Christ. Why? Because Jesus left there and he went into Egypt and they lived for all those years without, because they weren't allowed to work in Egypt, without having to work. I'm talking like many people just been lied to their whole life. And we don't even realize it. And so that's why, you know, when we get into these principles, you know, I love just sharing truth. Truth is, it makes you free. And when Jesus was having communion, it was very family oriented. It wasn't the stagnant table. They actually laid on the ground and they would lay on the ground head to chest, all the way in a big circle. That's family, by the way. And then they would be able to hear the heartbeat of the person that you were next to. Because your head was right there. Jesus did communion with his family. And today, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your family. Turn to someone and say, your family. That's right. You're part of the family of God. There's nothing better than being called sons and daughters of God himself. What's really cool, too, is that you know they loved each other because they double dipped. They took bread and they broke it. And then they dipped in the same, it was called sop. They double dipped in the sop. You know that's love. Jesus, help us all. That's relationship. And today I want you to know that while we're taking communion, it won't get you to heaven. Communion is to remind us what Jesus has done. And communion is to remind us who we're living life with, our family. Turn to someone and say, you my family. Tell them whether you like it or not. Whether you like me or not, we're still family. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks and eats in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That is a sermon right there. For this reason, many are weak, many are sick, and many are dead. And for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Jesus took the cup, actually took the bread. Now I want you to know that we live by faith in this church. Because when you touch this thing, that ain't bread. I don't know what that thing is. I think it's compressed paper somehow. I don't know. There are religions that teach that this is the physical body of Jesus. I want you to know there's nothing physical about this. We're not even sure if it's natural. But what it represents is everything. It represents that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. You know, there are a lot of churches that don't preach healing anymore. How could you not preach healing? Because that's what Jesus paid for. Amen? By his stripes, you were healed. Not might be, not could be, but you are healed. In fact, God said in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, I am the God that healeth thee. His very nature, his very character. If you've got sickness in your body, you've got disease in your body, you've been maimed or you've been wounded, I want you to know that Jesus wants to heal you. And his healing power is available. We got so many people in this room. Actually, Sister Jody Dyke, stand up. She was healed last week, right in service. Amen. My wife was healed of cancer. Who else was healed? Who else has been healed in this church? Stand to your feet. If Jesus has healed your body before, stand to your feet. Now I would say that that's a pretty good majority. Amen? If God will do it for them, he'll do it for you. Oh, that's right. You got a really cool one, right? That's right. You're back, right? You were supposed to have back surgery. Two herniated discs. The doctors had proven it with pictures. And you were supposed to go in for surgery. When they went back for MRI again, the whole MRI changed. God had completely healed his back. His wife has a great testimony too. She was born, she was giving birth, and there was a 5 months pregnant, and there was a tumor in her uterus with him. Stand up, kid. He don't look like no tumor, let me tell you. That's exactly what. The doctors were concerned, right? But God took the tumor out. We prayed for her. She went back to the doctor and no more tumor in her body. This young lady healed of cancer. Amen. Who else? Who else? What were you healed of real quick? Yeah. Last week, your foot. Anybody else? Yes. That's right. It's an eyelid. Amen. Cervical cancer. Anxiety. Spot on your lung. Her eyes were healed. Arthritis was healed. Yes. Bones were reconnected in less than a week. X-rays to prove it. Come on. Who? Yes. Diabetes. Healed of diabetes. Asthma. Young man was healed of asthma. Yes. Well, I can't even say that out loud. What is it? PCOS. Infertility. She does not have that problem. Yes. Say it out loud real quick. Was it? Depression. Amen. Yes. Her shoulder was healed. Yes. Her eyes were healed. Amen. Yes. Addiction. Glory. Come on. Yes. Addiction. Yes. Arthritis. Lactose intolerant. The flu. Glory to God. Yes. Epilepsy. Glory to God. Yes. Hypothyroidism. Yep. In there right now. Glory to God. Healing miracle. Cancer. God loves to heal. You know, people say, well, I've never seen a miracle before. Well, you've never been here, I guess. Miracles are normal because God loves to do miracles. The cracker doesn't produce a miracle. It just reminds us that the miracle is ours. Can you say this with me? Jesus, I thank you for healing me. I thank you that no disease, no sickness, no wounding, no maiming has a right in my body. That by your stripes, I was healed. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. He then picked up the cup and he said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. I got great news for you. I don't care how bad you think you were, you could never be bad enough for the blood. Doesn't matter what your sins were, doesn't matter how bad they were, the blood will wash them all away. Jesus is so powerful. You know what's also great? How many of you have ever made a mess of your life? How many made a mess twice? All right, how many of you made a mess at least three times of your life? Isn't it great to know he's never given up on you? Right there, I could almost, listen, I'm not a crier, but I almost cried right there. He's never given up. Never once. He loves you so much. Turn to someone and say, Jesus really does love you. Even though you're messed up. Now, come on now. In communion, let's be real. Who was around the circle? Peter. One minute he's saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next minute, Jesus is rebuking him. Shut up, Satan. We all got mess, but thank God for the blood. Father, thank you for the blood. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that we have hope and reason and destiny and purpose. And today, Lord, we thank you for the blood. Lord, we can't thank you enough. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. Now, right there just means you've just had faith. Because if you'll drink that stuff and eat that little cracker thing, you know you're a man or woman of faith. Because we don't even know if it's real. Amen. I believe they're passing baskets. Here you go, Pastor Chad. Right now, I want to remind you there's a church service going on in Ithaca, in our Ithaca campus. And we want to thank God for them right now, that God is moving in their lives and the message is being preached right up there. We also want to remind you that we're going to be starting another campus, maybe two next year. It's time for us to get the message out there that God is good all the time and never bad. Amen? I'm excited for what the Lord is doing. My wife and I just returned from Florida. We were down. The bishop asked us to come down. For you who are fresh in the house, we have a lot of oversight in our church. We believe that everybody has to be submitted to somebody. Well, that wasn't exciting. Everybody must be submitted to somebody. Amen. And in this house, we have two oversights, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, who's been over us for since 2002, and also Bishop Rick and Pastor Kathy Thomas. And they asked us to come down, spend a few days with them. Went down. It's just so rich. The bishop, our bishop, wants us to know, and he wanted me to tell you that he loves you, and he's praying for this house and God's purposes right here in Horse of Heads, New York. Amen. About 3 weeks ago, we preached a message on hell. How many of you liked that message? Jesus. How many of you got a little hot? No, don't raise your hand. We had Alvin Slaughter the next week, and then last week I preached on heaven. How many of you are glad heaven's for real? Listen, I'm just saying, that's the name of the movie. But I mean, heaven is for real. Heaven is a great place, and when we studied it last week, I don't know anybody who doesn't want to go to heaven, you're out of your cotton-picking mind. It's all, you know, you're crazy. You're nuts to not want to go to heaven. Heaven is an awesome place. And I can't wait to see Jesus, spend all of eternity with him. It is going to be just dynamic. It is going to be epic. I've always just wanted to say that word. Today, I want to preach a message on the rapture. Sadly enough, many people have never even heard of the rapture. The rapture is not really preached in churches today, but we have to understand the rapture because it is a main component to the life of Christ. He came, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, rose again, and he's coming back. Jesus is coming. And when you start talking about this, it is something that is very real. But if the church isn't being taught it any longer, and let's be honest, when I was a child, it was taught often that the rapture was going to occur. In fact, I'm going to date some folks. If you are old enough to remember the movies called The Thief in the Night, raise your hand. That means you've been saved a long time. Now, for those who don't know those movies, the whole purpose of these movies is to scare the hell out of you. Now, I remember. Now, listen, if you're not sure if you ever saw these movies, I can tell you, you'll always remember they wore bell bottoms. That's all you got to know. But these movies, man, we would go watch these movies, and you were just scared. In fact, when I was a kid, you know, it was like over-the-top kind of stuff. But I remember if you went to the movies, you were going to go to hell if the rapture happened because Christ couldn't find you even if you were watching the movie Bambi. I remember that we weren't allowed to go to dances. A little dance, a little hell. A little dance, a little hell. I remember when we were children, man, we were afraid to, like, go to the, we were told we couldn't go bowling, because if you went bowling, because everyone was smoking and drinking in there, if you went to the bowling alley, if the trumpet of God sounded, if the rapture happened, Christ couldn't find you in the bowling alley. Isn't it true, Ron? I mean, talking like, when we grew up, man, the teaching was really twisted and warped. It was more to scare you rather than being what Christ has called it to be. And we're going to get into that in a moment. Some of you don't even know what the rapture is, and I'm going to explain that too. But before we get there, I want to talk to the older Christians. You know, for years, people have said, Pastor, let's be real. I mean, they've been talking about the rapture forever. Nothing's really changed. Man, everything's the same. They tried to scare us into the rapture back when we were children, but now we're 65. It still hasn't happened. Probably not going to happen in my lifetime. But I want to read some verses to you because I think they're important. This is to the more mature Christians, those that have been saved for many years. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, and what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age. You know what's real? Sinners even know that something is up. The world knows that something is wrong. That something is peculiar, out of place, that something's going to happen. Something strategic, something tragic is about ready for us on the horizons. Even sinners know, and you start talking about the end times. Even sinners can identify. Listen, if you've been saved for many years, I want to revive you in this message. I want you to be stirred in this message. Jesus is coming. 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 And he's coming very soon. In fact, what's powerful is what the man of God wrote as he penned it in the scripture. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You see, Christ is coming. There's nothing left to be fulfilled before the trumpet of God sounds. I want you to realize that everyone in this room, before the service is over, Jesus could come. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says this, verse 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Come on, everybody give a shout. That was so sad. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. There you go. With the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, the rapture to people who are right is exciting. The rapture to people who are not right, whoa. He's just trying to scare me. Listen, if that's coming to you that I'm trying to scare you, you're not right. Just encourage you. You see, this is a message that when we get it in our spirit and realize how real it is, and I'm going to show you how real it is in a little bit, that Jesus truly is coming. Now, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, we know. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He then ascended to the heavens, and then he came back to earth. I believe it was 40 days he was on this earth with the disciples. And during that 40 days, he was teaching them things and speaking to them. But one day, we find this in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 11, they were all standing there and all the disciples, and all of a sudden Jesus started to rise. He literally, physically, right in front of them, started to rise and he went up into the clouds. And the disciples are watching. Now, I want to explain to you, as a Jewish person, their goal and their thought was that Christ was coming, the Christos, the Messiah was coming to build an earthly kingdom. So they're watching Jesus rise, and they're not really sure what's going on. He gets into the clouds, and the angels appear, and they say, hey, what are you looking at? As you see him go, you will see him come. And this is the message that we're talking about right here. It's talking about the rapture of the church. Now, the word rapture has never been found in the scripture, but it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 18, as well as Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where it's talking about being snatched away or taken away. Now, what I love about God is that he has a plan that before the great tribulation period is unfolded, before the Antichrist is revealed, that there will be a rapture. Rapture or a snatching away or a taking away of the church. Now, this is really cool because when you start to study this, it's really fun. Now, this type of topic I can preach for 4 hours on. I'm going to hold myself to about 40 minutes. Is that all right? No, really, I can do a lot on this one. What I love about the rapture is the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, what that means is that anybody who has died from the death and resurrection of Jesus till the rapture happens, everybody that physically dies, we bury them in the ground. Now, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which means the moment a believer dies, their spirit immediately goes to heaven. That's why the Bible says in Thessalonians that as a believer, we don't grieve the same way that sinners grieve. When a sinner loses somebody, there is a grief of loss, of not seeing them again. But when a believer dies, we know that we'll see you in just a little bit. Amen? That we're going to miss you while you're gone. And time passes in this sadness and some grieving. But the great part is this. I'm going to see you in the sweet by and by. This is not I'll never see you again. This is I'll see you in just a tad. Amen? We don't grieve the same way because it's not goodbye. It's just a tad. I'll see you in just a little bit. You see, that's the power of the gospel. But what's really interesting when you start studying this topic is that when the rapture happens, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So all those that have died from the resurrection of Jesus to the trumpet sounds, as we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 through 18, everybody who's been buried in the ground, their physical bodies will meet their spiritual bodies, and then they'll be judged in what's called the firmament. The firmament is what? It's the air. It's not in heaven. It's not on earth. It's between the two. And it's there that we'll all be judged at the Bema seat of Christ. But what I love about this topic is this, is that everybody who's alive and remains shall be caught up together with them in the air, which means this. All of a sudden, man, you're driving down the highway and you're born again, blood washed, and you hear a trumpet sound. Man, you thought it was Sirius radio. Nope, it's the trumpet of God. And all of a sudden, boom, you go right through the roof of your car and you're heaven bound. Isn't that stinking cool? I love that, man. Star Trek has nothing on Jesus. Come on. Man, you're at your house, or what? Can you imagine this? You're at church, and all of a sudden the trumpet sounds, which is really awesome. All the believers shoot through the roof, and everybody else is sitting there. Where'd everybody go? Now, I want you to know that being left behind is a bad thing. Turn to someone and say, don't be left behind. Don't be left behind. Why? Because if you're left behind, you're going to go through the great tribulation period. And man, you don't want to be in that zone. That is a horrible zone. And even beyond that, I'm kind of messing you up by being in the service. In fact, if you want, you know, you might want to escape the room real quick. Because I'm going to put you in a position where you'll never be able to say you have not heard. This topic has stopped being taught. And when you stop teaching about the rapture, two things happen within the church. Number one, we stop living holy. Why? Well, why should we live holy? We got time to repent. In fact, what's amazing is that in the last days, the Bible says that two shall be walking together and one will be taken away. Can you imagine being on the airplane? And all of a sudden, the rapture happens, and both the pilots are born again. Yeah, it's a bad situation. Can you imagine what the highways are going to look like? Man, because all the believers are raptured, and their cars are just not. It's amazing when you start looking at the greatness of the rapture, but those that are left behind are in a position where they simply do not want to be. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You know, even as a mom and a dad, if you're not born again, but your children are, any child under the age of innocence is going to be taken. That means, let's say you're not born again and you're holding your baby and the trumpet sounds. Your baby's going, baby, you're not. Every single daycare, can you imagine, they're going to be empty. Glory to God. Where'd my kids go? All over the planet. People are going to be disappearing. Probably about 1 billion people are going to disappear. And you know they got to make up a story. The aliens have come. Well, Pastor, this is kind of far-fetched. No, it's not. This is a basic teaching of the kingdom of God. The problem is the churches have gotten away from the kingdom of God's teaching, and what's occurred is the church stops living holy. We stop living right. Why? Because there's no rush to live right, because we got time to do whatever we want to do. But the reality is that the imminent return of Christ is upon us. Jesus can come. I just saw my daughter-in-law blink. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that in the twinkling of an eye, the thief will come, the Messiah will come, but a twinkle is faster than a blink. So actually, in this room already, Christ could have already come, and whosoever is not saved or not living right before God, you'll be standing in your seats. And you'll be going through the great tribulation period. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. That's all right. You believe whatever you want. I'm good. There comes a time when you've got to get back to teaching the principles of the kingdom of God. And that is that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. He rose again on the third day. And Jesus is coming again. Oh, but Pastor, that's that old message. No, no, listen now. The other thing that happens is this. The church stops living holy. And then number two, we stop telling people about Jesus. Let me ask you a question. It's 12, 16, and 37 seconds right now. 38, 39, 40 seconds right now. If you and I knew that Jesus was coming at 12:30, how and what would you repent of? Watch now. If we knew Jesus was coming at 12:30, who would you jump out of your seat, go out in the foyer, and start calling and sharing the gospel with? See, what's happened is because the church no longer teaches this fundamental principle of the kingdom of God, the church has lost its urgency. They've actually lost their purpose. They've lost their design. Our design is not to acquire. Our design is to give. Our design is to share. Our design is to preach. Our design, our destiny, our purpose, our calling as ambassadors. We are not from this earth. This is not our home. This is not where we live. This is where we are. occupy until he comes. But one day, and it could be today, the trumpet of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are alive and remain, bam, shall be caught up together with them in the air. I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait. But what's so stinking cool and what's so powerful about our Lord is he loves people so much. Let me prove to you. This month alone, we've seen over 50 people, in June to the beginning part of July, we saw 50 people give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus had come in May, they'd have been left behind. God wills that not one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's time for the church to get back to our calling. It's time for us to get back to our understanding. The rapture is real, and Jesus can come today. We've got to live right. George Barna did a study, and the study came out to where when he did a study that between the Christians and the non-Christians, there was only a 1 or 2% difference between them. The sinners gave just as much as Christians. The sinners went and saw the same movie, the same pornography. They went and saw and did the same sins. Everything was the same, but 2 or 3%. And God said, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. It's time for us to have a revelation that if Jesus Christ comes today and you're in sin, you're probably not going. Now, let's flip that. If the trumpet of God comes and sounds today, and you're born again, blood washed by Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven. See the difference? I said it one way, and everybody went, I said it the other way, woo! Why? Because the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. How can you comfort? Well, you can only be comforted if you know you're going. You know, as a child, I always said, well, you know something? I'll just die and I'll go through the tribulation and get my head cut off. You know, if that's what it costs, I'll just go through the tribulation and get my head cut off and everything will be good. Listen, if you can't serve God in peace, how will you ever serve God when it's going to cost you your life? I was praying this morning and I was asking the Holy Spirit why we're not seeing the organic growth like they saw in the book of Acts. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, because in the book of Acts, those people, I was their life, not just part of their life. A lot of people have Jesus as part of their life, in their convenience time, in when it works for them. In when they want to go to church. In when they want to not sin. Christ fits in that zone. But Christ has never been called, has never been brought for you and I to have him as part of our life. The Bible says he is our life. Can I hear an amen? In him we live and move and have our being. The Bible says it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. You see, it's not Christ in us. In the aspect of he's serving us, we serve him. Amen. See, this brings a change of excitement. The problem is that when the church has lost this teaching, we don't live holy and we don't share the gospel. And that's what's happened in the world today. The average church sees less than one soul saved a year. In fact, most churches don't ever hear or give an altar call any longer. I know churches that just recently, one pastor told one of the people in his church, stop bringing sinners to church because if they're called, they'll be saved anyways. Man, I'm telling you something. The church has to have a resurrection. Why? Because without the church, God's plan is gone. You are plan A for Jesus Christ. God has planned and purposed your life to reach a certain amount of people. And God has postured you so that you would understand that today he could come. And if he comes today, you want to make sure that you tell everybody you know. Can I hear an amen? You see, no man knows the day or the hour, the date. But the one thing for sure is you can look and see the signs of the times. The signs of the times are so powerful. Jesus said, you can look at the sky and you see it's red sky at night. Come on. Red sky at night. Red sky in the morning. He says, you can read that. Can't you read the signs of the times? See, the signs of the times, we've never been where we are before in the time of prophetic history. There's no more prophecies left to be fulfilled before Jesus comes. After he comes, prophecies will start unveiling. But right now, there's no more prophecies that need to be accomplished for the trumpet of God to sound. He can come today, not figuratively, not religiously, not in a fictitious story. This is reality, that today Jesus can come. So what happens if he comes? Are you ready to go? If the trumpet sounds before the service, are you going to stay in your seat? See, and this is where every one of us, we have to look at our own lives. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, 36 through 44, but of that day and hour no man knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour that the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. I just want to share with you just a few prophecies. Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 talks about the signs and the frequency of famines and wars. In the 15th century, there were 6 famines. In the 16th century, there were 10 famines. In the 17th century, there were 24 famines. In the 18th century, there were 28 famines. In the 19th century, there were 30 famines. In the 20th century, there were 44 famines. The first decade of the 21st century have already had 12. And on this pace, there'll be 120 famines over the next 100-year period. Wars and rumors of wars. In the 15th century, there were 29 wars. In the 16th century, there were 59 wars. The 17th century, there were 75 wars. 18th century, there were 69 wars. 19th century, there were 294 wars. In the 20th century, 278 wars. And the first 10 years of the 21st, 55 wars. And at this pace, 550 wars over the next 100 years. Increase. Israel reborn as a nation in one day was prophesied. It was fulfilled May 14th, 1948, Isaiah 66, 7 and 8, Ezekiel 37, 21 and 22. Israel were scattered and God regathers them. Fulfilled Isaiah 11, 11 through 12, Ezekiel 37, 21 through 22. Isaiah in control of Jerusalem, fulfilled on June 7, 1967. Zechariah 8, 4 through 8, Revelation 11, 8, Daniel 11, verse 41. Israel awaits land, but God restores it. Fulfilled Ezekiel 36, 34 through 35. Deuteronomy 29, verse 23. Hebrew language will be restored to Israel. Fulfilled in the last 200 years. Zephaniah 3, 9. Apostasy and false teachers deceiving many. Matthew 24, 5 and 11. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5. 2 Thessalonians 2 through 3. Man, I want to tell you, this is a powerful one. People's character, boastful, proud, pleasure seekers and scoffers. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. Matthew 24, 12. Wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24, 6 through 7. Famines and plagues, 24, 7. Natural disasters, earthquakes. When you study that one, man, it just staggers you to see how many earthquakes are now compared to even last century. Overwhelming numbers. The apostasy. Oh, let me go back one. It says persecutions. Matthew 24, 9. Gospel will be preached throughout the world. We know that was done by whom? By Billy Graham. He stood up and he preached the gospel when the Twin Towers were still up, and in one message literally touched every nation of the world, fulfilling that prophetic word. Persecutions. The Center of Study of the Global Christianity in the United States estimates that 100,000 Christians now die every single year just simply because they believe in Jesus. That's 11 per hour. the apostasy, falling away from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 through 5. 2 Thessalonians 2 through 3. What is the apostasy? Is the church that has a form of godliness yet denies the power thereof. They're a church that sit back and says, we don't believe. Listen now, I've met so many people from what we call denominational churches that have never once heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached for salvation. One man was in his 30s, and when he came to the church, and he came, and I shared the gospel. That was the first time in all his years, and he grew up in a denominational church his whole years. The apostate church are churches that have the name church on them, but no longer preach the gospel, or only preach half a gospel. A lot of times we call them seeker-sensitive churches because they give a nice little message, but they don't want to offend everybody. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They want to build their church, but unless the Lord builds a house, the labor's in vain. And that is a gospel that is powerful. That is a gospel that is sharing that Jesus Christ came, lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin, by the way. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, rose from the dead, and is coming again. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You see, people love the apostate church. Why? Because they can go to church every single Sunday and feel a piece of religion and not have to feel anything else. But the fact is they might not be going to heaven. It's the gospel that gets you to heaven, not your church. You can tell me you're Pentecostal all you want, but if you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not going to heaven. Well, Pastor, I was brought up Catholic. It doesn't matter if you brought up Catholic. There's not a Catholic section in heaven. There's only one section, and that is the family of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the earth. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It's not a church. It's not a religion. The only name is Jesus. Can I hear an amen? We've seen more apostate churches rising like you've never seen before. They grow quick, but they don't preach holiness any longer. They don't preach that you got to live right. My wife and I, we have a church that we know of specifically that when someone's moving to this town, we tell them, do not go to that church. Well, that's kind of judgmental, isn't it? Nope, it's what it is. Why? Because in that church, you can drink as much as you want. You can be on the worship team and drink. You can be on the worship team and be a lesbian. You can be on the worship team and live any way you desire. And man, if you're going to Rochester, we'll tell you the name. We have no problem. Why? Because anybody who's ever left this church and gone up there for college that has ended up going to that church, every one of them are backslidden. Why? Because if you don't realize holiness is powerful, then you allow the ways of the world to control you. And the Bible says, if you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We've got to live holy. Can I hear an amen? And the apostate church, they'll have the title church. They might even have the booms and the slangs and the lights and the smoke. But without the blood of Jesus, they have no church. They only have a religion. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says that knowledge will and travel will increase. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Can we not say that? Amen. Technology for the mark of the beast, 666. Worldwide communication, Revelation 13, 16 through 17. Man, right now, we all know that the Honeywell company built the first cashless system back in 1984 to have it implemented in Australia. I know that because my friend worked on the project at the Honeywell company in Massachusetts. Their very first cashless system was created way back then. How many of you have been seeing the microchips that are coming out like crazy? About the size of a piece of rice. They used to start putting them in dogs and in cats so you don't lose them. They're talking about now putting them in babies. Now there are actually companies that you have to have that little microchip in your hand or your forehead, usually it's your hand, so that they know where you are, when you are in the aspect of your work-life relationship. I want you to know and realize that that is the most brilliant thing that they could ever do. It is the slow bath into the mark of the beast. You see, the Bible talks about the Antichrist who's going to become riding in on the white horse. That's the very first seal. He's going to ride in with peace and safety. He's going to give Israel the right for the first 3.5 years to rebuild the tabernacle. We talked about the four cornerstones that were delivered in 1984. We talked about the red heifer that has now been restored and being duplicated, and babies are being brought in so they can do that sacrifice. We also talked about the Ark of the Covenant that has been returned to Jerusalem from Turkey. All of that is just set up for the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. Peace and safety. They'll have the sacrifice just like they did in the Old Testament. But halfway through, 3.5 years in, there's something that's going to happen called the abomination of desolation. It's when the Antichrist, the one riding on the white horse in Revelations chapter 5, he's going to come in and he's going to kill a pig on the very altar of God, and he's going to declare that he now is God. At that point in time, man, he's going to start taking control of the world. And one of the aspects is going to be a cashless system called the mark of the beast. And anybody, the Bible says, who receives this mark will not be going to heaven in any way, shape, or form, because it is a mark of the enemy, not the mark of God. This has all been set up, man. Let me tell you something. There's no prophecies before the rapture happens, but after the rapture happens, everything is being set up right now to where if the trumpet of God sounded today, the Antichrist would appear on the planet. In fact, Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth proved 2 Thanksgivings ago that the Antichrist is alive today and on the planet. All of a sudden, he starts taking position, and the scary part is, if you miss the rapture, you're going to be seeing this stuff. Well, that's no big deal. Oh, really? In the fifth seal, 1.8 billion people are destroyed. 1.8. Oh, what does that mean? The entire Western Hemisphere plus 1 billion people. Just in one seal. What's amazing is that the church no longer fears God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And man, when you start talking about the rapture, you got to start living right. Can I hear an amen? You got to start walking right. Can I hear an amen? Man, you got to start having a passion to share the gospel with people. For if they do not know, they will not go. And if they do not go, they've got to experience this horrific event. ISIS, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, Lower Turkey. The Euphrates River flows through Iraq, where the army of 200 million will come against Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. That's why ISIS, whether they realize it or not, is working so hard to make sure that they can own that territory. Russia takeover of the Crimea in the Black Sea during Obama's time. They can now travel from Bosporus Strait to the Mediterranean Sea and invade Israel. The Bible says at the Battle of Armageddon, there's the armies of the north, the armies of the south, and the armies of the east. By the way, there are no armies of the west. That would be us, by the way. The armies of the north is Russia. And what they just did under the timetable of the Obama, the time that he was there, listen, I'm not saying it had anything to do with Obama. I'm sorry, during that timetable, they were able to buy a piece of property. Now they can march down and they can be at the Battle of Armageddon. The Euphrates River has been dried up in so many different places. Now the army of 200 million, which would be China and the Asian countries, now have the right and the ability to march down the Euphrates River to meet at the Valley of Megiddo at the Battle of Armageddon. And the armies of the South have no problem with it anyways. I want you to see, I want you to realize how close we really are. See the times and the season that is in front of us. This is not about fear. This is about excitement. But the excitement is, man, not just that I'm going, but I don't want anybody to miss it. Anybody that I truly love, I want to share the gospel of Christ with, because it could come now. Remember, the person you hate the most is the one you won't share the gospel with. Let me say that one more time. Get it in your spirit. The person you hate the most is the one you will not share the gospel with. Well, I got my friends. I don't want them to dislike me. Well, you already hate them. Well, I don't want my dad mad at me. You already hate him if you're unwilling to share with him. Well, my sisters and my brother, I don't want them to not like me anymore. Listen, you hate them if you're not willing to share the gospel, if this is truth, which it is. We've got to get back to understanding that Jesus is coming. Can I hear an amen? I said, Jesus is coming. Can I hear it? Amen. I said, Jesus is coming. Can I hear it? Amen. Now, what I said about messing y'all up, I just want to share that with you. It's very exciting for me and for heaven and not for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 through 11 says that anybody who had the ability to be saved before the rapture will not get a second chance after the rapture. The Bible says a great delusion will come upon them. Now, in the great tribulation period, many nations and tongues will be born again. That's the purpose of the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. But the fact is that anybody who's sitting in this room, anybody who's watching live stream, or is going to be watching this on television, ABC and CBS, everybody who watches this program will never have the right to say, I did not know. Therefore, if the rapture happens and you're left behind, you do not get a second chance. Now, if that don't scare the hell out of you, then you're just dumb. Turn to someone and say, don't be dumb. So my philosophy of, well, I'll just go through the great tribulation period and get my head cut off. What's that head cut off thing? You ever notice that ISIS really brought that in strong? You know what that's about, don't you? Because in the book of Revelation, it says when you won't take if you don't take the mark of the beast, your head will be taken off. There's a resurgence of that for a reason. We hadn't seen it for centuries. Now it's back. Why is it back? It's being reintroduced so that when it starts happening in the great tribulation period, it won't be strange. See, today as a believer, man, I don't know about you. I'm excited. Comfort one another with these words. But if you're uncomfortable right now, you need to get comfortable. And that means you need to get right with Jesus. You need to make sure that if you die today, you're going to know where you're going. That if the trumpet sounds today, you know where you're going to be going. That you're living right before God. Man, that you're walking straight before Jesus. And man, I don't know about you. I'm going to tell everybody that my God is good and not bad. I'm going to start telling people about the good news of Jesus. The good news is that he died for your sins. He loves you with an everlasting love. He'll wash all your sins away. Throw it as far as the east and the west and remember it no more. And you'll be called a child of the Most High God. It's called the good news. Man, we got to get back to believing the truth. For the truth will make you free. And the truth is this, Jesus can come today. I said, Jesus is coming. No, I don't know if you heard me or not. I said, Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus, he's coming. Jesus can come today. The Messiah, the trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And man, I'm excited. I'm excited. But man, I don't want to go alone. I want to take as many people with me as possible. Because remember, we did that study on heaven. You're going to be around your family. What if you're the only one? Don't be alone. Get your mom and your daddy. Drag them by the toenails if you got to. I'm not talking about bringing them to church. I'm talking about sharing Jesus with them. The truth shall make them free. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. You were quicker in first service there, young man. I love this message. I think it was 3 years ago I preached 6 weeks on this and actually took a big whiteboard and drew the whole picture out. If you want to know what that is, yeah, I think you can get on YouTube, get on our church's YouTube, His Tabernacle, and you can go through the entire timeline from rapture all the way through the white throne judgment found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. But this morning, we're not at Revelation 11, 20 through 15. This morning, we're at those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. We're at the job of the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14 and 16, is to convict us of our sins. To make sure we're right. John chapter 15, for you have not chosen me, but I chose you, that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Jesus is after you this morning, not to join a religion, but to be part of his family. Nothing's better than the family of God. Today, if you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven, you're not sure if you'd be left behind if the trumpet sounded today. Listen, I'm not just talking to newly saved people. I'm talking to people who've been serving God for 20 years, but man, you haven't had a relationship with God for the last 10. Your salvation isn't hewed out because you said a little prayer when you were 6 years old. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling means you got to have a living relationship with Jesus. Today, if you're not right, whether you're not sure you go to heaven, you're not sure if the trumpet sounded, you'd be going to the North Country. You want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you can beyond a shadow of a doubt. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him to the dead, you shall be saved. Today, you want to make sure. I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to pray with you. Thank you, young man. Put it right back down. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Come on. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you very much, honey. Well, I'm not going to wait real long. The rapture might happen before we get these folks into the prayer time. I want to make sure we get them up here quick. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3. Thank you, sir. 2. What are you getting so loud for? It's imminent. Hurry up. Last call. Thank you. Last call. Here it goes. Thank you. 1. I think why that's so real to me is it was a great preacher. Her name was Mary Woodworth Eder. In the 1800s. And she had a man get up in her service. And she looked at him and she says, "Sir, the Lord says if you leave this building before you get right, you'll be dead before you're home." He walked out the front door, went down the church steps, had to cross railroad tracks, and got hit by a train and died. She did it one other time. A man got mad because she was preaching like I'm preaching right now, and he stood up, and he starts marching out the door. She says, "Sir, today God is calling you. Today will be your last breath. If you leave this place, you'll not have another opportunity." He got angry, said very bad things to her, stepped over the threshold, had a giant heart attack and died. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just telling you that to be real. Nobody here in this room knows you're going to make it back here next week. You don't know. And if you're not right, it's just sheer intelligence. Get right with God. Amen. So if that trumpet sounds, boo-doo, boo-doo, it's the best I got. That trumpet sounds, you're not going to have to be sitting here going, "Where did everybody go?" You're going to be meeting them in the air, shouting all the way, "Yeah! Woo! I get to see him today! I get to see him today! I get to see him today! Woo, Jesus!" Man, you don't want to see this white man dance. That's scary. But I can get excited enough to dance. Because let me tell you, woo! I can't wait to see him. And it could be today. Let's all stand to our feet. Next week, my wife is preaching. Pastor Obi made a statement to me a few months ago. It was this. There's only one spirit in the church stronger than the Holy Spirit. That is the spirit of offense. That most people will walk away from their destiny because they've been offended. My wife's going to be preaching on that next week. You don't want to miss it. The week after that, we're preaching a series on the Watchman of the Wall. 4-week series. You don't want to miss any of that either. It is going to be a power-packed, supernatural summer filled with the glory and the power and a word that will transition your life. Listen, if you're going on vacation, make sure you're watching live stream. Come on now. If you're staying home because you're lazy, may the Lord rebuke you and get you out of bed that you can't sleep all night long. I'm praying that you won't sleep all night long. Insomnia in Jesus' name. Because God's got something great for you. And I'd hate to see you miss it for stupidity or foolish reasons. See me change that? It was nice. Turned nice. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar right now. Be quick, 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 quick. Altar prayer team. Look at it. I just won an award. What did I do? Move goal achievement. Do I look thinner? I think I need some cake. Glory. If you raise your hand, we had people in the first service raise their hand to give their hearts to Jesus to make sure they're right with God. If you raise your hand, I'd like everybody to turn to the person next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. Come on, look to the person next to you. Say, if you didn't raise your hand, just Josh, go find somebody. If you didn't raise your hand, I'll go up with you. If you did raise your hand, I want you to meet me right up front. Be brave. Young lady's already out of her chair. Proud of you, baby girl. You don't want to be left behind. Come on now. Come on. Get out of your chair. Get up front. You want to make sure before the end of this service, you're set. Hallelujah. Proud of y'all. God's good. Love you, honey. Man of God. Proud of you. Young baby, I love you, honey. Proud of you. It's a great day. This is Mindy. I keep trying to wash that off, but don't come off. I don't know why. She's going to lead you to Christ. She had a catastrophe happen this week. She was doing uproar, and her tooth went through her lip as she was playing out with all the young people. That means maybe, you know, okay, let's move on. I love you. She's an amazing woman. It's my daughter. It's Pastor Cody's wife. We're so blessed to have her in our family. You know, honestly, my wife and I didn't really like her. We tried to chase her away. We tried to scare her away. But she's stubborn, which is great. I'm so proud you're stubborn. And she has been a tremendous wife to my son. And she's an awesome pastor. And she's an amazing mom. I'm so proud of you. You are an amazing. You will be a, where's my aunt? You will be a Grammy Spencer. Yes, you will. That right there is the greatest compliment you can get, Grammy Spencer. You're a great Grammy Spencer. She's going to pray with you. We're going to get you Bibles. She was praying over the Bibles this morning, making sure the presence of God is just going to saturate every time you read it up. God's going to just invade your life. And I want to encourage you, join a group as quickly as you can, because that's how we're going to keep growing, okay? Encouraging one another every single day. Follow Mindy right over there. Can you give him a hand clap? Come on now. Don't let heaven outshout you. Don't let heaven outshout you. Can I say this to you? Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. You know, honestly, most pastors have sucky congregations. No, it's true. Most pastors complain about their congregation all the time. We don't. Why? You guys are amazing people. We love you. You are so awesome to pastor. I've only had to fire staff members. The congregation here, you're just amazing. And I just want to say, as my wife and I know she'll stand with me, thank you so much for allowing us to pastor you. We have so much to do. Listen, we got a lot to do. We got so many people to share the gospel with. We're not stopping. We're not slowing down. I challenge you to join a ministry. Everyone in this room right now can jump online. Everybody online can jump online on histabernacle.com. And right now there is a gift test there. I ask you to go and take the gift test. You'll get a copy of it. We'll get a copy of it. And what we're going to do is we're going to contact you and say, we found the ministry just for you. We want to get you involved. And I want to thank, I don't know if she's here. I see Dan Flat. Dan, can you come over here real quickly? Listen now, I already kept you this long. A few more minutes won't hurt you. Dan Flat, if I can get you to come. I talked about Bruce this morning and here he comes. Dan Flat is part of my team called the SWAT team. Is Marge in the room? I know she's here somewhere. I think she's in the children's ministry. Marge, Bruce, and Dan Flat. You know how, like last week when we did Heaven, they made it all come alive? This is what these guys do. And I can't thank you guys enough for helping me and helping God make these messages come alive. You are tremendous people and givers. And he has a business called Multimedia. I'm not doing a commercial. I'm telling you right now, he sows into this house. And that's why his business is blessed. Father, I just thank you for Dan. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I speak blessing over his family, blessing over his wife and daughter, blessing God over his business. There's the anointing. Now, God, in the name of Jesus, there's the presence of God. Flood him. Bless him for blessing your people. Bless him for blessing your house. And God, I thank you for his ministry and serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. There are so many in this house, they work in children's ministry. So many in this house, they work in youth ministry, the worship team, prayer ministry. So many people. My wife and I just can't say thank you enough for serving God and his people. You will never find a greater reward. Listen, you can't get to heaven that way, but you'll never find a greater reward than serving God's people. Because you're not serving them, you're serving him. Amen. Father, I speak blessing over this church in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare, God, that we are soul winners. I declare that, God, we are people that are in this world but different from the world. I declare, God, that we are going to be a testimony. I declare, God, in Jesus' name, that if you come today, we're going to see you face to face. Let the trumpet sound, oh God, that we can rejoice. But before we go, let us reach as many people for you as possible. In the name of Jesus, and everybody shout it. Serve God with all of your heart. We love you. Enjoy Jesus.